There's nothing worse than when something good, something really good, something given by God gets misused. And the result is that something good can become something quite terrible. Think, for example, just two examples, of church renovations in the 60s or 70s, or Star Wars movies in the early 2000s. What starts as a great idea ends up with something ugly and really expensive. What starts as something good can, if misused, can, if twisted, become something quite terrible. The great and glorious law of the living God, the law of the Old Testament, the law given to Israel, the law that marked them out as a people, with all of its moral and ritual teachings summed up in the Ten Commandments, that law was a gift from God. And yet, our second reading for today is a lament. Is the lament by St. Paul that the law that God gave had become twisted and misused. You see, the Christians in Galatia had become deceived by an early Christian heretical group known as the Judaizers. These Judaizers taught that all of the prescriptions of the Old Testament law, circumcision, dietary and purity laws, were absolutely required for Jews and Gentiles both now to be in the Lord's covenant people. They were required. These Judaizers spread this teaching throughout the Mediterranean, but they made so much trouble for Paul at Galatia that he felt the need to write today's epistle. At one point, just two chapters before today's readings, Paul says this to the Galatians in one of his less pastoral moments. You stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, he writes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Paul rebukes them because these false teachers have twisted the purpose of the law, and they've made the law the thing that marked you out as being in Christ's new covenant people. The law rather than, as Paul says, faith and baptism. In twisting the law, they took something good and right and glorious and made it terrible. So Paul sets them on the right path and lays out for them the true purpose of the law. In chapter 3, he tells them, before faith came, we were kept guard under the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And today we hear, for freedom Christ has set you free. Don't submit to the yoke of slavery. And in the last verse, if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, the law, Paul says, was our tutor, our teacher, our custodian, our disciplinarian. The law was there to guide God's people of old, to protect them, to keep them directed towards God until faith. Until the Spirit would be poured out. The old law was given so that God's people might be directed towards righteousness. The law was a roadmap, a light offered to the conscience of every man to make God's ways known to him. From the beginning, God placed within each of us a conscience to discern good from evil, and yet because of sin, that conscience became darkened. That's why St. Augustine says of the Ten Commandments, God wrote on the tables of the law what men did not read in their hearts. What we should have discerned in our hearts, God was forced to carve in tablets of stone. We needed an instruction manual, a roadmap, a guidebook, pointing in the right moral direction towards God. That was the purpose of the law. Its purpose was not to bring us perfection, but to point forward to it. After all, not committing adultery, not lying, and not stealing are not exactly the heights of holiness. Not being a murderer, not being a thief, does not make you part of the blessed company of saints. No, the law could not bring us to perfection because the law couldn't deal with sin. It was external. The old law was a measuring standard, an external set of rules given to us to guide. The last great figure of the old covenant was John the Baptist. He rebuked sin all around him. He called out injustice and immorality. He had people wash on the outside and turn from those actions. But John could not deal with sin. Sin could only be dealt with from the inside out, from a baptism not just of water, but of spirit. As John himself said, "The one coming after me who is greater than I, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The one coming after wouldn't merely point out sin, reject sin, and rebuke sin, but welcome the sinner, heal, cleanse, and forgive. In Christ, the problem of sin gets dealt with from the inside out. And so Paul says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is within us. When Christ came, John said of himself, he must increase, but I must decrease. In the same way, once faith comes, the old law fades away. John came to point out sins like the law, but Christ came to strengthen us from within and give us the new law of love, the new law of the Spirit. By pouring out his Holy Spirit on his people, we have received a new law of Christ within us. The old law told us to love. It gave us the boundaries of that love, but it didn't give us the power to love, the virtue of charity. It showed us what must be done, but it didn't give us the strength or the grace of the Spirit to fulfill it. Paul writes to the Romans, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. By the Holy Spirit, we have received the gift of faith. This new law of Christ has been poured into our hearts, this new law of the Spirit. But to say that this new law is spiritual, there is a temptation. To many, it will sound like a softening of the law. For sure, there were critics of Paul in Galatia who would have criticized him and said, Paul, you're making it too easy. Paul, if you tell them the old law with its rules is gone, people will do whatever they want. They'll do terrible things. Paul, anticipating this criticism, writes today's words. If you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the flesh. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the flesh. In other words, this new law is for freedom, but it's for freedom to go deeper in holiness. This new spiritual law is deeper than the old law. It's deeper than our actions. Now our thoughts, our intentions, our motives are laid before the Spirit of God. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus goes up to the mountain as the new Moses, the new lawgiver, and he begins to explain what this new law of the Spirit is like. And he begins by saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom. You have heard that it was said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, if you call your brother a fool, you are liable to the hell of fire. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at someone lustful, you have already committed adultery in your heart. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, but I say to you, if they strike you on the right cheek, give to them the left. This is not a weakening of the law. This is a law that is deeper, a law that goes to our very motives, our hearts, our intentions. A law that is deeper and wider than the old. This is a law that is not imposed, but a law that flows from within us. It's the difference between following a map and following instinct. The old law was the map, the guide towards God, towards heaven. But there is a certain point at which you don't or shouldn't need a map. Several years ago, my family and I, when we were still living in Texas, we would drive to North and South Carolina every year in the summer to be with the rest of our family. And every year we made the trip, I had to get the map and I had to remember and go through and mark all of the exits so that we didn't end up in Mississippi for some reason. And we had to go through and I had to say, okay, now we're on 30 and then we're going to 40, and then we're going to be on 40 for a while, and then 85, and but after a while, I didn't need the map anymore. After a while, it had become internal. After a while, there was instinct, and after a while, I knew when we got to certain places, certain markers, certain intersections, I knew by second nature which way we were going. Now, there are times when the map has to be consulted. But you see, the Spirit of the living God, the law of the Spirit, is like a spiritual instinct within. It prompts and directs us which path to take. Paul says in today's reading, if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Occasionally, we have to consult, but mostly we're able to discern how to go. With the gift of faith, God has not only given us an internal compass to seek after Him, to discern which way to go, but He's also given us the strength to do it in the Holy Spirit. St. Basil writes, we have already received from God the ability to fulfill all His commands with the Spirit. The old law was something external, something imposed upon us from above. The new law of the Spirit, this new law of love, springs out from within us. The old law we knew we had to follow. The new law is one that we want to follow. The old law said we are to have one God only. The new law says we want to belong to only this God. The old law said we have to observe the Sabbath. The new law within says we want to worship God, our Maker. The old law said we could not murder. The new law within says we want to love all men. The old law said we could not lie. But the new law within says we want to be a people passionate for the truth. The old law was a chain of rules. The new law within is a change of heart. There is a legend, an old legend associated with the life of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. One day, Saint Bernard was walking and he came upon an angel. The angel had in one hand a pitcher of water and in the other a flaming torch. Bernard asked him, "Why do you have these?" And the angel replied, "To quench the fires of hell and burn the pleasures of heaven, so that people will start loving God for his own sake, not out of fear of punishment or hope of selfish reward." The old one said, "What does the Lord require?" The new, "What does he desire?" The new law the Spirit works within us, pulls us, tugs us, sometimes pushes us towards God, not from the outside, from within, that we might seek after not the minimum like a child, but that we might seek to be changed from glory to glory. For in Christ, the new lawgiver, the words of the prophet Jeremiah have been fulfilled. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be mine."